Hi, this is Salve Rebuilder, and you're listening to the Face-to-Face Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel Shay's the bomb.
Hey everyone, welcome to Season 2, Episode 25 of the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. And this is Kristen. I live in Boston and I am Skyping with Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Good. And you're in Las Vegas.
I am.
I bet it's nice and chilly there.
Oh my gosh, it's just a cool, brisk day of a whopping 110 degrees and 35% humidity.
Oh, isn't it supposed to be dry heat there? Like, that's not fair.
It is. It's monsoon season, though, which is cool. I've been begging for rain for 6 months, so I'm not going to complain. I have bad hair, as you can see. It's fine.
My hair in humidity, like, goes nuts.
It's big and full of secrets.
Yeah, exactly. So, what did you do today?
Today was a nice, lazy Saturday. I slept in. I watched Shameless. I watched some Shameless and I went to the gym and now I'm talking to you. Not much. How about
awesome.
You?
Awesome. Me? Oh, I took my kids to see the Christopher Robin movie.
Was it good?
No, it was so boring.
Was it creepy? Because it looks creepy in the commercials.
It was kind of creepy. It was kind of creepy and boring. Like, seeing this dude walking around with, I mean, they just kind of looked like puppets.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. None of us dug it very much. And it was like a rainy day here, so that's why we decided to go to the movies. But you've been going to the gym a lot.
I have. I've been doing an off month, if you will, of no drinking, no shows, very little social interactions, and trying to hone in on getting back in shape. My pre-Las Vegas weight would be ideal, and making some healthier life decisions for at least a month to start. But
how do you not do shows for a month though? Did you have to plan a month that you knew no good shows were coming through?
Luckily, there's not many shows this month that I'm missing.
Yeah,
but I did not plan for this. It was just kind of one of those things. I'm like, you need to do this, and you need to do this now.
Yeah. Well, I know you did punk rock bowling.
Yes.
And then what else? What else? Oh, right before that, you had done the one in California, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good festivals this spring. There were a lot of local ones I was going to. For a little while there, it was like 2 to 3 shows a week. Most recently, Streetlight Manifesto, where I was telling you how I broke my nose at it.
What happened? Like, how did you break your nose?
It was just an elbow to the face thing.
Oh.
I'm tall guy. My face, elbow.
Did he know he did it?
Yeah, you knew it was a hard hit because like three men completely came in and like coddled me and rushed me to the side of the pit. It was fine.
Well, that's like, nice, I guess, that guys stepped up and helped you.
I think I talked about it with you in an episode before though, where Las Vegas is this like weird hole for music where you'll go out and see one of your favorite bands here. Mm-hmm. And you think that it's going to be this big show and you show up and there's like 10 people in the crowd. And at this particular show, Streetlight had this place called Brooklyn Bowl fucking packed. And it was the best crowd that I've seen in Vegas yet. And the floor it's a big floor space and the entire floor for like a quarter of the show, if not more, was a full pit. It was awesome. There was good energy. The sound was amazing. So, I mean, broken nose or not, it was still one of the better shows that I've seen this year.
Yeah.
But it was after that, I woke up again with a hangover. I'm at work and I was like, you need to just take a month off of like not drinking, not going out. And people are like, well, you could go to a show and not drink. And I'm like, hi, have we met? I just have social, I've talked about it with you before. Like, I've got social anxiety. I need just one or two to get me in the door. And then one to two turns into 3 or 4 and then I'm hungover. So like,
yeah. Well, we all need that reset, right? Like it feels good to do a reset.
Yeah. For me, it's a practicing self-control thing. So
yeah,
we'll see how I do.
How long has it been?
Today's only day 11, but it's been pretty good.
Well, you're
a
third of the way.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
And what are you doing? You're eating healthier too?
Yeah, I'm being pretty strict. Like, I've cut out almost everything that is good. I'm strictly doing pretty much like non-starchy vegetables and protein.
Yeah.
And that won't last much longer though, because if I'm going to the gym, I need energy. But
yeah,
no one cares about diet stuff though. This is boring.
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, I just think it's like, it's good to do a reset every now and then. Like, I do think people need to do that. And it's cool that you know that you need to do that. Like, that you took inventory and were like, I need to make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I think that we all sometimes lose ourselves in whatever we're going through. And I've definitely lost myself the last 3 years, and I've got a hold of it for once. Like, I've got the energy to do this right now for once. So why not just do it instead of talking about it and doing it? And that's nice.
Well, so, I mean, good. I keep, that's good.
Yeah. Remember that commercial a while ago that had FOMO? I don't remember what it was, but like, FOMO means like fear of missing out.
Yeah, of course.
I'm definitely getting it. And like, every now and then I get an invite from someone to go out, and I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, like, you'll appreciate this tomorrow when you save the money. You don't go. You get 8 hours of sleep. So.
But yeah, doing that in Vegas has got to be really hard.
It's tough because there's something here every single night, it seems.
Yeah. Like, see, a lot of us have like built in months off because we don't have anything to do for a month.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a whole different breed here.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other one. So remember, okay, I know some of the shows that I was doing. Four of the shows that I went to recently were All Save Ferris. Well, I didn't go to all four of them. I did two or three of them. But they did that residency here I was telling you about. So that was really cool.
Yeah. Now, is
too.
That done now?
It is. And we should definitely work on trying to get Ms. Monique Powell on the show.
Yeah, I wrote her agent or talent agent, something, and I never heard back. And I wrote her on Instagram too, and I never heard back. So I'm going to keep pursuing it because she definitely needs to come on. Although she started following us.
Yeah, I saw that. I will say.
I was wondering if maybe you got in her ear.
I will say that probably it wasn't the most professional thing of me to drunkenly tag her at one of the shows asking if she would be interested in doing a Mabel Syndrome interview. So probably.
Why? No, that's great.
Oh, well, later I deleted the post asking her, I think. But I was like, maybe.
So you did a post. You didn't actually talk to her.
No. Well, we did the I did it in person one of the times. And then like she just waited for pictures and everything. But. Yeah. Like there were like three posts on like our story or on the Mabel Syndrome story of like, hey, Monique, it'd be awesome to have you in an episode of Mabel Syndrome. And it was like three in a row. And I was like, girl, you've had too much vodka tonight. Delete those. I think I kept one.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's too funny.
They were all very polite. There was nothing out there. But I'm like, probably like the best approach would have been having you reach out to her manager and not me doing it on Instagram.
Well, sometimes it takes both, though, because we've got interviews from both ways, like whether it's a personal seeing somebody out and making a personal connection or just randomly writing them on Twitter or Instagram, that has worked. And then also getting in touch with a manager or PR person or something. So like all of those work, but maybe not all at the same time. I don't know.
I think though that her personality in this would be so fun. Like she's a fiery, smart, hilarious, talented woman, and like it would be so cool to have her on Mabel Syndrome.
I know, I would love it. And how was the show? Was it awesome?
They were really cool. The first one was weird because I don't think that Harrah's really advertised it, so it was small. And then the last one I went to was a really fun crowd. It was neat. I don't know. There's nothing cooler than going to see a band that you've loved since you were 8 years old, free. A few miles from your house, a few times in a month. That was awesome.
That's cool. That's really cool. So then what will get you off the bandwagon? What show do you have coming up?
Well, the next
one. Off the wagon.
The...
Not a bandwagon. It's a wagon.
Ba-dum-boom-tsh.
Unintentionally, just because I'm stupid, made a pun.
So here in Vegas coming up, the next few shows, the end of the month, so I will break it for Swingin' Utters. They're here August 26th. Hilltop Rats from Tacoma, Washington are here August 30th. Coffin Cats are here in September. Distillers, Real McKenzie's, Alkaline Trio, and Strung Out are all here in October.
Holy shit. You have all that coming up?
Yeah. And that's not even including the ones I'm traveling to. So there's like the fall is shaping up very nicely.
Wow. So that's amazing. And then you're coming here. You're coming to the East Coast.
Yeah, we get to meet in person.
I know. Finally. I'm so excited.
So what is that? September 28th, I'll be in Boston. And then that we're going to go see Frank Turner and Bad Cop, Bad Cop at the Hampton Beach Casino Ballroom in New Hampshire, which is where I'm from, which is
Have you ever seen a show there?
Oh, several. Like, so many.
Yeah.
It's literally on the beach, too. You have, right?
Yeah.
Have you, like, it's an adorable little venue, but then you walk out at the end, like, all drunk, and the beach is right there. So, like, you can run across the street and jump in. Granted, end of September, probably not.
Right. Well, maybe. It might be one of those random New England warm, there's a word for it.
Sorry, is it Indian summer?
Yes, is that although maybe that's a racist term now.
Probably.
Like everything is. I don't know. We're probably very unpolitically correct. But should we say like it's not even Native American anymore either. It's indigenous people.
An indigenous summer?
What is indigenous summer? It could be like a very warm, beautiful indigenous summer night.
I don't even know what Indian summer means. Like, I'm saying it out loud now. I just say it because that's what my mom used to always say. I'm like, I don't know the meaning of it.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I wonder if it's just a New England thing, like if other people even know what that is. But it's just like a weird, like a warm day or night in September or October or even November. Like sometimes you get a warm day and we call it Indian summer. I don't know why.
We've got to get on the Googles and figure out if anyone can tell us where this originated from. And if we had just said something insensitive, please let us know.
Yeah, exactly. I like Indigenous Summer Night. I think that sounds awesome. Just rolls right off the tongue. But that's going to be so great because obviously Frank Turner's amazing. And then Bad Cop gets to open for them.
I know. I'm like out of everything that I just said, like going to that show in New Hampshire, meeting you and seeing those bands in my home state, like hands down sounds like the best night for me ever.
Yeah. And you'll get to see lots of other friends and family and all that stuff, right? Like how long will you be out here?
I'm trying to do 10 days.
Oh.
I'm going to do some leaf peeping. I'm going to get my tourist on.
Yeah.
Hang out with my mom, see some friends. So.
Well, and that's the best time of year out here, honestly. Like September is the best month.
I haven't been home in September since I moved. So like since 2009 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. What about you? What shows have you done recently?
So I had to go to New York for work. The best part about my work, I don't know if people know what I do, but I'm a college advisor for teenagers. And so part of my job is that I have to travel around and meet with college reps and visit college campuses. So I can kind of time them if there's a show that I really want to go to. And Off With Their Heads is one of my favorite bands. And they haven't really been touring lately, and they were just doing this really short summer run. And Ryan had tweeted out and was like, this is the only tour we're doing for a while. Because they're actually making new music. So Ryan, get on that. But he actually said he listens to the podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hi, Ryan. I love, he said he likes to make fun of us. He likes to listen and make fun of us. But I feel like that's what 90% of our listeners do anyways. So I'm cool with that.
I've made fun of us too.
Yeah, me too. I listen back and laugh at half the shit I say, so whatever, he can do that. But anyway, so he was just doing this really short stretch, and so there happened to be an event at Fordham University, so I was able to time it with that show. So awesome. It's cool. So I can like go to a show, and as long as I go to a college campus, the whole trip is a write-off for me.
Perfect.
So I dragged a friend down and we went to, it was in the Bronx, or no, I'm sorry, it was in Brooklyn, which I had never been to. I had never been to a show in Brooklyn before. So
what venue was it at? Do you remember?
Brooklyn Bazaar.
Never been there.
Yeah. Cool, it was cool. It looked like a 70s nightclub sort of vibe.
Ooh.
It was rad. It was really cool. And this other band, so the bass player in Off With Their Heads is in another band called Headlines. So they opened up, and then the Spells played as well. Big Eyes played and the Spells played. And then Off With Their Heads, and the whole thing was just really fun. And actually I met a girl there. She was over at the Off With Their Heads merch table, and I was just saying hi to the guys, and she was clearly like by herself. And so I was like, I'm just going to chat up this girl because I'm here by myself and she's here by herself. And so I did. I was just like, which is not normally something I would do. So I kind of like.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
You did. You did.
Yeah. I met a girl.
Picking up, I feel like, we go to shows and we pick up chicks. All right.
Exactly. I picked up a chick. And I think, and I gave her Mabel Syndrome stuff, and I think she followed us or something. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, but we like hung out the whole night, which was really cool. And I mean, that's what you're supposed to do at a show, right? Like, meet people. And if you're, especially if you're going alone, like, it's just really nice to meet someone and that's there by themselves too. And like,
yeah.
So,
that's anyways, awesome. I love Off With Their Heads. Like, absolutely. Any mood that I'm in, I can put them on and I'm stoked. But they have got me through like my low last 3 years. Like,
yeah.
Seriously, they come on and I listen to them at minimum once a week.
Yeah.
Like, beginning to end.
Don't you just feel like Ryan, like, I just feel like he gets me. I'm like, probably everyone says that. Everyone says, like, I should have written Clear the Air. I should have written Nightlife. Like, that's me, dude. I'm sure every dude goes up to him at a show and says that. But I totally feel that way. I'm like, you just said what I feel, man.
Because everyone listening can't see us. When she said that, I facepalmed.
Why did you facepalm?
I get it. I agree, too. Because there's so many things that we all have lows and can connect. And those lyrics, I'm like, I could never articulate the way that I felt. But that's it. But the way you said that, we're like, I feel like it gets me. I just laughed with my hands on my face.
Yeah.
I'm really jealous that you got to see them. Because when I lived in Colorado, I would see them all the time. And I've come up with a list of bands that I went from seeing at minimum once a year to never seeing since I've moved here.
Yeah.
And it's Off With Their Heads, I have not seen since I moved here. They haven't played in Vegas.
Or but they also, did, Ryan moved from California back to Chicago.
Yeah.
So that might be part of it.
The other one is Frank Turner, and then the other one was the Slackers. So I'm like, hey.
Oh.
Hey, the three of you, all of you should come through Vegas when it's not Punk Rock Bowling weekend and play for us.
Yeah.
Weird Vegas folk, us desert folk.
Right.
Oh, man, though. Oh, that's a good New York trip then.
Yeah, it was really fun.
What do you have coming up next?
Not much. I'm trying to think, like, nothing really in August, or at least not for a few weeks. And then there's a, like, Face-to-Face Acoustic is coming here. And so I'm going to go to that. And then, of course, the Frank Turner Bad Cop. And then the Penske File and Pew Pew Pew. Are two bands that I've just, and with, they're coming with Red City Radio, I want to say. Awesome. And I love all three of those bands. So that's going to be a really fun show.
That'd be a great show.
Yeah. So nothing for a little while, but yeah, I have that coming up. And then we have those ladies that are killing it for us overseas.
Insane.
Yeah.
Like, how cool is it right now that Mabel Syndrome is all over the world doing rad shit this week?
It's fucking amazing. Like, so Danielle went there. Danielle lives in California, and she went to Rebellion Fest, which I don't know where that is.
That one's in the UK, I think. We
okay.
For
it looks amazing. And
we turns out we're not really great at knowing where things are in the world.
Yeah, no, not so much. But she's doing Instagram stories and posting, you know, live performances and all that kind of stuff. So that's so cool.
Every band that I love is at that festival.
Oh, like Rebellion,
really? Well, have you looked at the lineup? Rebellion every year is huge, but like,
yeah,
it's insane. Everyone's at Rebellion right now, so we probably should make that happen. She stands by it.
I know.
Next year we should all go do Rebellion.
Well, and she also texted, I don't know if you were on the group, or if it was a group text or just to me, but she was like, this feels so much like the punk rock family over here. And she was getting such good vibes, and I'm just like, oh, I want to go to Europe and do a show. Like, that would be amazing.
Bucket list.
Yes.
2019.
Sure. Right.
And then the other ladies are at Punk Rock Holiday?
Yeah. They're setting up right now. That's a tent. That's like a festival where you tent. And so that's Lisa and Tiffany. And what's cool about them is that they're American, but they're just living overseas right now, I believe. And so I know at least Lisa is living in Germany. And so... I don't even know how she found out about Mabel syndrome, but she did. And she's been a huge support and just a great person to have on board. And she's always talked about her co-Mabel. She's like, my co-Mabel is Tiffany and we do all the shows together. And so I just brought it. And she's like, we're going to a punk rock holiday. And I said, well, you should do an Instagram takeover, which she's never done before. She hasn't done, I think she's written a couple things or contributed in smaller ways. But I was like, I want you to just take it over and just you and your friend are going to punk rock holiday, document the whole thing, you know? And they're just so adorable. You saw their video that they did when they were in the car?
They're wicked cute. They're really cute. And they're excited, and it made me excited. And then that also brought to fruition that I don't know where Slovenia is.
I think that's been a running theme on the Mabel Syndrome podcast, that we are all geographically challenged.
So, I've been to 40 some odd states, but I've done very little travels outside of our country, and it's very pathetic.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I should have done it in my 20s instead of spending money on, I don't know, alcohol.
Oops, lesson learned. Next life. I'm actually pulling up Punk Rock Holiday now because I'm actually very curious to see who's playing that one. But
it's a lot of the same bands. I feel like they are doing Rebellion and then just going right over and doing Punk Rock Holiday.
Yeah. They're going to have so much fun then. Well, very rad. It's cool to see what you and Jessica have started grow to what it is now.
Yes.
And I'm sure, speaking of a flattering outreach, I'm sure right now you must be very flattered and excited to see the new 99% magazine come out. And Mabel Syndrome's featured on the cover and a spread inside.
Yeah, I had no idea that was going to happen. I had no idea. Billy Skelly is a photographer in California and also a journalist, I would say. And he started 99% magazine. So you guys should all check it out. And you can get a PDF. You can buy it online and get a PDF, or you can buy a physical hard copy of his magazine. And he always has these amazing interviews, amazing exclusives. And he's been a supporter of Mabel Syndrome from day one. Like, I don't know if people know that he made our logo. And he lets us use his pictures. Like, from day one, he's just like, whatever you girls need, I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. And I will support you 100%. And we didn't pay for that advertising. Maybe I shouldn't say that because he probably wants other people to pay for advertising, which they should. And we should too. We just don't have the money to. But that was the kindest thing for him to put us in that magazine. And it also features Bad Cop, Bad Cop, The Last Gang, The Bomb Pops. There were a couple other bands in there as well.
I mean, Mabel Syndrome goes hand in hand with what the whole spread seems to be. And essentially, it's a very pro women in the punk rock scene magazine. So the whole main shtick of it, if you will, of this month's magazine is it's the Fat Chicks Rule, and it's featuring the women of Fat Records.
Right.
So I just pulled it up here. So there's an article called Dear Adler, and it's written from the singer of the Bomb Pops, and it's a letter to her son. And then it does a feature on Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and Go Betty Go. We've got an introduction to The Last Gang, whom we love. And right at the bottom there, listen to the Mabel Syndrome podcast. And then you open up the magazine, there's a huge double page spread. You must just be so flattered, though, because you're sharing a front page and a whole magazine with A, bands that are super talented that we all know and love, and B, from a super talented photographer and writer, our friend Billy. Like, it's just a very cool thing. The second I saw that come out, I was like, no way, that's so rad.
Yeah. I can't even put it into words. Like, I can't eat. Yeah, it's so cool. And he's offered to do a feature on us or do some, you know, a write up on us. And I definitely going to take him up on that because,
yeah.
He's just super talented and he's an amazing supporter of what we've done, like from day one. And I can't thank him enough for doing that. So yeah, it's just fabulous. And we love all those bands and it was really cute to read, the Dear Adler, I think, is the first feature in the magazine, and it's Polly from the Bomb Pops has a son who is, I think he's 5, because he's the same age as my youngest son. And I got to hang out with them. So I brought my son to a show, to a Bomb Pops show, and our kids were hanging out. So I got to see her interact with Adler. And like,
yeah.
she's an amazing mom. And he's such a cool kid. Like you know when a kid's like a total dick or when a kid is the sweetest kid. Like, he was creative and fun and had this amazing energy, but like also super kind and polite. And so I got to see them interact, you know, firsthand. And so to read her write-up about her son and being a punk rock mom and everything. And if people haven't listened to, actually the first episode of our podcast ever was an interview that we did with the Bomb Pops, and Polly talks a lot about being a mom and how people are like, oh, well, how does it feel to be a mom and be away from your kid for a month? And she's like, fuck you. Like, no one asks dudes that ever.
No.
And so we, you know, that came up during our interview. So
And of course, it's probably not easy.
Yeah, like, of course. It's never easy for anyone. It's not easy for dudes. It's not easy for girls. Like, you know, so just to be away from your family, period, or your spouse or your kid or whatever. So I don't know, but people should go back and listen to that episode if you haven't. Because
I actually haven't heard that one, so now I will.
Oh, yeah. It's really cute, too. They do it in Polly's bathroom. They were like, we want good acoustics. So they sat in the bathroom drinking beers with us and did that interview. So it was really fun.
While we're talking about them, side note, I just had like notes here. The best show ever was just announced for Vegas, and it's the Bomb Pops and Strung Out at the Dive Bar here, which is a really small divey venue. I mean, the name gives it away.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an incredible show. I'm very excited about that one.
That's so,
I can't
so
wait
cool.
to. I'll have to listen to the episode beforehand and introduce myself when I see them that night. I haven't seen the 99% magazine yet because I ordered the hard copy. So I'm excited to, but if you haven't followed them on social media yet, everyone should go give them a follow, 99% magazine. Billy's got a very specific photography style. Like, you see a picture and you know that it's him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
you look at a picture
sure.
and you're like, he's very talented. So
yeah.
again, he's
and
a
he's
super
done a lot of album
cool
covers
supporter.
Of some amazing bands, and yeah, he's very talented. So I want to get to today's interview.
Yeah.
So at the end of this, we're going to put an interview that our fellow Mabel Syndrome contributor, Kim, did with the Homeless Gospel Choir. And so I just kind of want to set it up for people that don't know Homeless Gospel Choir. Homeless Gospel Choir, it sounds like it should be multiple people, like the Boston's or something. You just picture like 10 people or something, but it's actually one dude. So it's one dude, Derek, who calls himself Homeless Gospel Choir.
It's very cool. I had never heard it until today.
Yeah, his stuff is funny, but it also addresses really serious topics like politics and mental health and depression and some really serious topics, but in a funny, funky kind of way.
Yeah.
And his new album, oh shit, I just bought it and I'm forgetting the name of it. Normal. It's called Normal. So that's kind of tongue in cheek too.
Yeah.
But so actually I should say the way I found out about them was through Kim, and the way Kim found out about them was through Frank Turner. So when Kim was interviewing Frank Turner, she asked him, like, what music or media has gotten you through a really tough time? And Frank Turner said Homeless Gospel Choir, and she was like, oh, I'll have to check them out. And Frank Turner has said, like, he sings on one of the songs on the new album, but also he's a huge fan of Derek's and a huge supporter. And so that's how we found out about him. And once you listen to it, and there's a couple of videos online on YouTube you should watch too, because they're like charming and cute. It's funny. But he's a really funny dude that's been open and honest about life and mental health issues and, you know, like chugging your way through, right?
Yeah. The thing that I was telling you, I compared it to in the late 90s, there were compilations that I get every summer from Hopeless Records called Hopelessly Devoted to You. And there was this band I used to love called Adam and His Package. And it's a very unique one-man thing. And I heard this today and I was like, holy shit, it reminds me so much of Adam and His Package. And it's so good. Like I ended up listening to it for the bulk of my time at the gym today. Like it's
yeah,
very cool. I'm happy that you guys introduced me to that today, because it's really good. I'm excited to hear the interview. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. And, you know, I won't ruin it, but he's funny and he talks a lot about my favorite part. And I think Kim's favorite part too, was when he talks about his relationship with his fans, and he's like, I don't have fans, I have friends. And he also does all his own merch. So when he's at the merch table, he's like, he's meeting everybody and he's connecting with everybody. And he's just a person you want to connect with, because again, he just gets me.
It speaks volumes too, if Mr. Frank Turner himself suggests him. That's very cool.
Right? If Frank Turner says, this is what I listen to get me through shit, then you know it's going to be good.
I will too try that to get me through shit.
Exactly. We all got it. And I'm going to play a couple songs at the end. I think I'll play the title track Normal, and then I don't know. I'll pick something else too, because his style is interesting. There's like some songs that are a little more punk rock and some songs that are just acoustic guitar, kind of more folky.
Yep.
So maybe I'll pick one of each and play them at the end of this interview. But also, if you don't subscribe to Mabel Syndrome, please do so on iTunes or CastBox or wherever you find us. And if you're willing to give us a rating, please give us 5 stars. That would help us out a lot. Anything else you want to end with, Sarah?
If you know, or if you love, or if you are a punk rock woman, repost, reshare, spread the word, share on Facebook, Instagram. I don't use Twitter, but I think you're on Twitter.
Yes. We tweet very rarely, but yes.
Yeah, spread the word about Mabel Syndrome. It's snowballing, and these ladies have worked their butts off to get it where it's at, and I think that they should see it get even bigger.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, so, and buy the new Homeless Gospel Choir album called Normal. And here is Kim's awesome interview with Derek.
Hi, this is Kim with Mabel Syndrome, and I am here with Derek from the Homeless Gospel Choir. And we are in Cleveland, Ohio at the House of Blues. How are you?
I'm doing so good. Thanks so much for having me.
I am thankful that you're here with us. We wanted to make sure that we caught you on the road, because we haven't yet. I got to see you with Dave Haas last year, and then in Columbus a couple weeks ago. And then I finally asked if we could get you, and we did. So I'm curious about, when it comes to the DIY scene, mm-hmm. Since you make all your own merch, mm-hmm. do you enjoy the hands-on process?
It's the reason that I do it. I love things that are analog, and I love things that you can make with your own hands, and I love things that are limited and special and unique, and I never had a budget or money to have somebody else do my work for me. So I've always just done it myself. Even whenever I first started out, I'd go to the Salvation Army whenever they would have, you know, fill up a garbage bag at the thrift store for $4. And I would go and buy all the blank t-shirts and I'd put them in a big, huge garbage bag and I'd take them home and I'd wash them and I would screen print the Homeless Gospel Choir on them and take them to shows and sell them for $5 just so that I would have some sort of a swag at the show or whatever. I do it because I love it. I do it because I think it's important. And I think it's important that punk rock is personal. And I think it's important that it's an intimate experience and an intimate expression. And, you know, it was a lot of work. For weeks before this tour, I was working on all that stuff, making buttons, making stickers, making t-shirts, making these stupid fanny packs.
People love those.
They do. It's funny. Just doing it and doing it with my own hands because I like the work of doing it and I like to be able to share something that I made with my own hands with somebody who wants to support it. So as far as DIY, like souveniring goes, yeah, I love to do it. I don't do it because I don't have any other options now. I do it because I really enjoy it.
That's awesome. I do homemade stuff on my own too. Not to the scale by any means, but like these are homemade now at this point.
It's nice to know that when you give somebody something like you participated in it, you know? I love it.
Yeah. We met a couple weeks ago in Columbus.
Yes.
And when I went up to go buy a CD, you specifically asked if we'd met before and shook hands, and you did that with every person that I saw you talk to. How important is it that you stay that accessible and that connected with everybody?
I think it's important. Not in any other way than I think human beings want to be around other human beings. And I think we want to make new friends and we want to have new experiences and we want to meet new people. And I know that's a great joy of mine to go out there and to meet new friends and people who like the music or whatever. I don't necessarily believe in fans. I think that's a shitty word. I think it's a word that people use to make other people feel small. And like, even though I consider myself to be a fan of other people's music, I'm a fan of The Clash. I'm a fan of Tom Waits. I'm a fan of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, you know? I like to use the word friend, and I'd rather build a friendship with you, and I'd rather us be friends, and you're my friend who supports my art, and you come out to the show, and you buy a t-shirt or whatever, rather than you're a fan of my music, and I have something like lording over you or whatever. Like, that just doesn't sound very fun or, like, interesting to me. Like, I would rather us have something that we can build upon to grow and be an advocate for change and be an advocate for community rather than just you're buying a product at my show. You come, you buy a ticket, you sing and dance for an hour and a half, and then you have to buy some things so you don't feel guilty that I don't, you know, have enough money, or I don't know, whatever. It just doesn't, it makes me feel gross. So the idea that we're friends makes me feel a lot better than us being a fan artist type of a relationship. So the fact that I'm there and I have a chance to make new friends and we get to talk about music and we get to talk about punk and we get to talk about DIY and activism, like, that makes me feel good. I like to do it.
That's awesome. You have been on the road a lot this year.
I have.
You did Lost Evenings.
I did.
This year. Have you had a favorite part of this tour?
Of this tour? Lost Evenings was certainly a highlight, being able to play on that tour and being able, especially to be able to play that show. It was wonderful to meet the Arkells from Canada. They're such a wonderful band and such great dear friends. Being able to share music and share art with them and share the stage with them was a great joy and a great treat. I would say Lost Evenings was probably one of my favorite shows that I've ever played. Aside from playing at home at Stage AE in Pittsburgh, I had a chance to do that on this last tour with Lucero and the Menzingers and Frank Turner. And just to play a home show like that with bands that I admire and respect and love was just absolutely remarkable. Like, Lucero is like the best country band out, in my opinion. Like, they're doing like country rock and roll. I think they're absolutely amazing. And the Menzingers are like getting a big, huge hug from like your big punk rock brother, and like, I love it. I love the way it makes me feel. So I playing that at home in my own hometown, you've been to Stage AE, mm-hmm. just to be there in that big huge room and to play, you know, my family was there, and it was just a wonderful experience, and it was such a joyous occasion. And I'm just so thankful to Frank for bringing me out here and showing me off to all of the people like his music too.
That's awesome. He's the one who told me about you in the first place. What's been the biggest challenge of being on the road for this song?
I miss being at home. I miss my mom. My mom's at home and she's ill right now. So I miss just being at home and being able to take care of my mother. I feel kind of guilty about it at times, to be truthful with you, because I get to live this real wild, crazy life where people clap for me all night and, like, tell me how great I am, and then I know that I have people at my family who need me. So it's difficult. I'm married as well, so my partner is at home and takes care of the dog and takes care of my garden. And I certainly don't want to be absent from that for too long.
Well, my next question was what, that being the challenge, but do you have a favorite place other than home?
I guess I could say that there's places that I love and there's places that I wouldn't mind if I didn't go back. I loved, like, every show on this tour has been great. And, like, all the folks who've come out have been wonderful and supportive and caring and kind. I'm a foodie type of a guy. So, like, when I have a chance to go to San Francisco and just go to the Chinatown and just eat dumplings for a full day, that's what I do. So I love San Francisco. I love Dallas. I go to Fuel City Tacos every time I'm in Dallas, and I get a bunch of street tacos. I love the Philadelphia show. Philadelphia's awesome. I love going to Philly. I guess I couldn't pick. I haven't played Orlando in so long. It was good to go down to Orlando to play and, like, see a bunch of old faces. Like, that was really, really cool. But, yeah, I don't know. I like them all. I don't like New Mexico. I don't like playing in Albuquerque. I've had bad Albuquerque experiences. But other than that, I don't know. I like every place. I like it all. I just like to go ahead and just be with people, whether it's in Pittsburgh or abroad. I like it.
Since you like food, do you have favorite places here? Have you been to Melt?
I have been to Melt. Melt, let me talk to you real quick about Melt. It's too much for me. No one needs that much cheese and bread in one sitting. Nobody.
They make half sandwiches now.
Do they now?
They do. I was really excited when they started doing halves.
I remember I went to a Melt, and it was me and Chris, too, and Jeff Rickley from Thursday, and we were sitting there at the bar, and we were eating Melt sandwiches, and I got about a third of the way through mine, and I thought I was going to throw up all over those guys. It was just well too much. And I had, like, 3 Dr. Peppers, so, like, it was bad. Like, it was just, like, junk food overload. But I do love Melt. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to talk that. But it was, it's a little too much for me.
Yeah, when they started, I found out about the half sandwiches. We were actually in Columbus. We drove down to go see Face to Face a couple years ago, and there's a Melt right down the road. And I was like, they make halves now. So we got halves, because otherwise we were going to go to the show and just, you know, food.
Michael Simon has a cheeseburger restaurant here in Cleveland. Am I right to say that?
I don't know if he has a cheeseburger specific. I know he has Lola right around the corner. And Flannery's on the corner. I think they're his... The big umbrella of his company just bought Flannery's, which has really good food.
I think that's where I went whenever I was last time I was here, and I had a really good, portobello burger. It's good.
I have their fried cheese. It's my favorite fried cheese, and I don't even like cheese.
I love cheese.
If you were not making music and doing merch.
Yeah.
Was there a backup? Do you think there's anything else you would have been doing?
Yeah, I'd probably be a cult leader, hopefully. I mean, if that would have worked out for me, I think I would have become a cult leader or a priest. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I thought maybe become, maybe working in a recycling plant would be cool. I bartended for a long time. I mean, that's easy and convenient, so I might bartend. I don't know. I thought about what it would look like to maybe get some beehives and just keep some bees. I thought maybe becoming a beekeeper would be something that I'd like to do. Maybe opening up a thrift store. I could open up a thrift store and just have, like, I don't like the idea of working for anybody else. So, like, I don't think I would be a very good employee for somebody else, but I could probably find some things that'll keep me busy on my own that I would enjoy doing. So I'd probably try and do something like that.
And that's what everybody ultimately would love. See, I work in the foreclosure industry.
Okay.
So it's a good job. I like the people that I work with. Some days it's hard to know the end result of my job, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, you only get so far before you realize, well, I have to have a regular job.
Yeah. And some, you know, nobody wants to foreclose on somebody else's house or any of those type of things. Nobody wants that to happen, but it's a part of the world that we live in, and somebody has to have that job. So
the good thing I've learned over the last couple of years is our volume has gone from recession level. Our workload has gotten way less because things are getting better.
Sure.
So being able to see that it's getting better is awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to give people housing that they're able to reasonably afford in a way that they can pay off their own mortgage and be an owner of their own home so that they can have a piece of it, you know?
Yeah. So I had mentioned earlier, I learned about you last fall.
Yes.
My first interview, which was with Frank Turner. I asked him, you know, if you got into a bad spot where you needed a kick in the ass from somewhere. And it came from an album or somebody else, or something that just helped rebuild the inspiration that you needed to move on. And he, to quote him, he said, your album Normal is flawless. What kind of albums do you have that have hit you that way?
A number of different albums. There's a band from back home called Endless Mike and the Beagle Club, which we've had a chance to talk about a bunch on this tour. And they wrote a record in 2003 or 2004 called The Husky Tenor. And it was an amazing punk rock album and changed the way that I think about music and think about friendships and think about relationships. I've been very much inspired by Pat the Bunny and Ramshackle Glory and the ethos that they bring to music, and it's been very helpful. And inspirational. I love the Pixies, so like listen to the Pixies play, like that encourages me as well.
Do you have any big plans for the Homeless Gospel Choir over the next year?
All the plans that I have are big. Hopefully we're swinging for the fences. You know, I would. The goal is for the most amount of people to hear the music. So whatever means and avenue I can participate in equitably with my own, you know, being as conscious about it as possible for the most amount of people to hear it, I think that's what I'd like to do. I have a whole new record written that I'm ready to show people. I'm going to go into the studio this summer and start to demo out those songs, and hopefully we'll have a new Homeless Gospel Choir record the first quarter of 2019.
That is awesome. Since we are representing women in the punk scene,
yes,
we always want to ask who your favorite punk rock women are.
From my own experience and some wonderful women that I've had the privilege and honor of co-laboring with in the punk rock world, there's a wonderful band from Baltimore called War on Women. My friend Shauna is a singer for that band, and they are a political protest band that sings about the importance of women and women's rights and women's advocacy, and it has been an absolute honor and privilege to share the stage with them and to play songs with them and to become friends with them.
We have actually had them on our podcast once. I think they might have been on the Warped Tour.
Yeah.
And I think one of our contributors in Pittsburgh went to the Warped Tour and got to interview Shauna.
Yeah.
A year or so ago.
Shauna's a homie. She's fucking the real deal. Another band that I took out on tour last year was Early Riser, and they are a band from Brooklyn, New York, and they are the most positive, kind, wonderful people. Heidi and Carrie from that band are just the best, and being able to share in music and share in art with them and being able to bring them out on the road and share in the opportunity of raising our voices together has been absolutely awesome. Like, I love both of those bands so much, and I think they're so valuable and so important today. And I try to, whenever I have an opportunity to curate my own shows and I do my own headlining shows and my own support shows, is to make sure that not just straight white guys are represented at the show. We want to go ahead and give opportunities to different people who play music, whether it be women or people of color or people representing the LGBTQ community, so that they have a voice and that they have a platform to show their art and their music as well. And I think it's important to make those opportunities available for not just the typical thing that you see in punk rock, which is skinny, tall, white boys, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is fantastic. That's all that I came prepared with.
I'm so thankful for your questions. Thank you so much.
And that was awesome. I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. I'll happily walk you out.
And now he looks better than ever.
They said to give up and to grow up, that my songs make them want to throw up, that I'm not original or catchy or clever or smart. They said my guitar would sound better at the bottom of the Ohio River, that I should get a job at the Route 51 Kmart. And sometimes I think I might agree. Depression in western Pennsylvania, or anywhere you're afraid to just be yourself. Sometimes I feel like I'm stuck here, trapped in the wrong gear, like an empty pack of cigarettes, like an endless bill called college debt. And I don't know when I first started feeling so alone, like how everyone else has a place and I simply don't. And sometimes you sometimes that's all right. Sometimes those words haunt me and cut me like a butter knife. And if your friends are assholes, then you're better off alone. Or you can go make new friends, the retirement home. Or you can move to Hazelwood and I will be your friend. And we can make a record in our brand new punk rock band. With friends like that, who needs friends in a seasonal depression? In western Pennsylvania, or anywhere, anywhere.
Breadsticks and Pepsi delivered for just $10.99.
A great deal. A triple murder in Silver Spring at 11.
Fast, easy way to remove stains from their teeth.
The color is gray hair.
But then I discovered this, the hair coloring called Just for Men.